listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
I am Gumshoe Perot, the greatest detective in Ticinia.
Is you orange? Okay. Oh, fucking cool.
Take it easy. Next couple of days. Come back in 2 days. I'll have something for you.
The royal family here has many powerful clerics.
You are under the effects of Zone of Truth.
Do you know of Sorin Vathir?
Shael?
Lorien.
Corian Valdris.
Valen Trey.
Kaufman.
Anto, do you have time? Perhaps we could even spar.
These blows,
they are not Joshua.
You're Paul.
Grasping an unmistakable
key.
Tell him to find me when he's prepared to reach heaven through violence.
Alex, I had a question for you. Because I think for the most part, you're the only other player at either of my tables who really DM'd for a long time. So I'm curious if this is a strictly me thing, or if this is like a natural thing for people who are doing their own campaigns. So, like, when I write stuff for the campaign, which I mentioned, months ago, that I'm trying to write something every single day, and I'm still doing that. I'm writing something every single day. But there is... I only can write about things that I'm, like, interested in that moment. So, like, if I get inspiration from something and I'm like, oh, fuck, that's really cool, and I start writing that, I can't touch that unless I'm interested in it again. So it always comes in, like, waves. It's usually, like, fucking, like, 9 o'clock at night where I have an idea and I'll just write. But, like, originally how I tried to do it, and I thought that this is how most people do it when they plan a campaign, is they're like, okay, I'm going to write about this, then I'm going to write about this, then I'm going to write about this, then this. So, like, I'm going to write about the country, and then after I'm done with the country, I'm going to do the guilds, and then I'm going to do the cities, and then I'm going to do this. But I would just jump back and forth, and I still jump back and forth through whatever I'm interested in. What was your writing process like for when you ran your campaign? I'm curious.
I would get, like, huge bursts of, like, inspo, I guess, and a week. I would just spend, like, a good better portion of a weekend just, like, writing. And then I would stop, and then it was like an on and off thing. But every week, there were times where I didn't feel like writing for the next session. Like, kind of like you, like, I would write about just other, like, world building shit. And there would be times where I didn't feel like just writing the next session. And Chup, I shouldn't even say this with you at the goddamn table. But there would be, like, times where, like, oh, we're playing on a Saturday, and it's like Saturday morning, and I'm like fucking writing up, like, the skeleton of the session, like the day of, kind of thing. So
I mean, as your DM handler, I think I'm pretty good at the stuff that I do, and I think that I've been told it enough that I don't really have to dance around it. I've done it for a long time. I think that I'm pretty good at what I do. I prep all of my sessions the day of. We have never, ever, 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 ever played a session at this table that I did not prepare hours before. The reason that works for me, and I've explained my process to other people, and they've tried it, and they're like, I fucked up that whole session. How the fuck do you do this? The reason that it works for me is because when I'm not preparing the session, all those other days, I am actively working to familiarize myself with my own setting. So if you're familiar with the setting that you have, anything else that might be a surprise isn't a surprise anymore. I was explaining this concept to 12 Gauge, where they're like, you know, I'm running these pre-written adventure paths, but what do you do when we do something that's not written down? Well, I say, I understand the setting, I understand the scenario well enough. So let's say you meet an NPC that's a lawyer. She's a lawyer, and she's just someone you go to for information in, like, one of the cases that we're doing, and she hands off some information. And one of the players asks, the NPC, you know, do you have any kids? Well, I don't know, because that wasn't written in the pre-written adventure path. I have no idea, but I understand this NPC at least. She's a lawyer. She's very straightforward with her information. She has a long career and she's young. So no, there's no way that she could have kids. It doesn't make sense with the NPC. That concept can be applied to tons of things. So if you guys visit some spot that I don't have prepped, I'm confident enough in my understanding of my own setting to be able to tell you what's there. Because I know what's there. Because I know what it is. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, but that's funny because I am... Yeah, like, there's always, like, time to improvise, but I am not... Like, if I am
I don't see it as improv, though. There are times when I have to improv. But for that kind of stuff, you know, things that I'm not expecting the party to go after... Anything that's available for the party is something that I already kind of, like, know what it is. In my head, at least. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
If I'm making, like, a character... I didn't do it... Maybe I didn't do it all the time, but I remember, like... Not, like, freaking out about every character, but... Kind of, like, freaking out about every character and being like, where the fuck is he from? What's his last name? He has to have a last name in this in D&D. Not, like, to that degree, but, like... I don't know, like, they... I needed, like, an answer before I would be put in a spot to, like, have to think up an answer, if that makes sense.
So, like let's let's take a look. I don't want to talk about any NPCs in this campaign, obviously, but you have an NPC and you don't have something prepared for it. Say the NPC is a merchant that you're going to run into, and they have dark skin, and they're really all about money, right? So with that basic information that you have, and say you just have their first name, not everybody needs a last name. I tried my hardest to break myself of that habit. I actually had that for a long time too. The guardsman family kind of brought my attention to a lot of that stuff. But so this NPC, say you have this NPC, and you as players ask questions to the NPC that I don't have prepared. Based off of my understanding of the NPC, I can extrapolate those answers, right? So he has dark skin, and you ask where he's from, well, he's got to be from one of the places that, you know, are either closer to the equator, or maybe there is a place where this particular skin tone comes from, or whatever the case is. There's your answer right there. I didn't have it prepped, but that's just based off of inferring off of the character. Backstory, mother name, father name, you can just make that shit up. I make that shit up all the fucking time. Unless it's important. And I hope, my goal, is that you guys can't tell what I am just pulling from thin air, unless it's funny, like the guardsman family, and what I have prepared. Because obviously the stuff that I would have prepared ready to give you is a little bit more important. The stuff that I'm improvising is maybe not so important. But I hope that you guys can't tell the difference between those two things. Be like, oh, he was really quick to give an answer there. That must be important. I don't want you guys to ever think like that. Ant had no idea of this concept because... DJ, they're playing Delta Green, and DJ's like, how many cigarettes do I have left in my pack? And I go, 8. And Ant's like, how did you remember that? How do you know that? I had to explain to him, like, I just made a number up. He imagines that my preparation is a lot more intensive than it is. I think for the most part, my preparation is intensive. I mean, this session alone, I have 15 pages in front of me for this session. But that's not everything. It can't be everything, ever. I love this shit so fucking much. I was talking to Justin, who plays at the other table, last night, and I just got done editing an episode of 12 Gauge for release this morning, and I was like, dude, like, I'm running the two podcasts, I'm doing, you know, the editing, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, that seems like a lot. Why? I couldn't imagine running two campaigns. I'm like, I fucking couldn't imagine not running two campaigns. I couldn't imagine. I never want a point in my life where I'm not playing tabletop. And I realized that. And I think that that's specifically why we started this, is that I had just gone too long without playing tabletop. I love D&D. I'm rambling. You guys want to play? You guys want to do something?
Can I just... You literally went, let's get right into this. And then did all that.
I know. I'm sorry.
My name's Toby. I like you.
My name's Joey. I like D&D. I'm sorry. I had to point that out. Let's get right into this.
Yeah, let's get a recap. Give me a recap of that last session.
You wouldn't have a court system.
Exactly.
Did you do it? No. No.
Well, maybe they do have a court system in place. Maybe there's activists fighting against that for the right of interpretive law instead.
Back in the 80s, like, somebody got fucked on Zone of Truth.
That doesn't help you well, I can't sound... Like, it didn't lead them anywhere if you only have people that are telling the truth.
Right.
Like you... It doesn't actively move you somewhere. It just, like, eliminates things.
You don't have to answer the questions that are presented to you. I was expecting maybe a little bit of some stuff if the questioning got to a certain point, which, for all intents and purposes, it was a fairly cordial conversation between Gumshoe. If it increased to a level in which particularly difficult to answer questions were asked, you can also try and worm your way out of it by telling the truth and giving an answer that sounds like a reasonable answer, but it's not really, you know, the whole truth, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. The legalese and that kind of jargon. So that's a way to get out of Zone of Truth too.
You don't have to answer the questions.
You do not. You are not impelled to answer. Mm-hmm. But if you do speak, you can only speak truths. I was expecting a little bit more reaction from the table when a fucking legendary action comes out. Never used a legendary action before. Do you guys know what legendary actions are?
Nope.
Legendary actions are actions that are neither actions nor bonus actions that can be taken of very, very high-level monsters. I was expecting maybe a little bit more of a reaction, but...
Oh my god, dude!
Dude, it was a legendary action! It was legendary, dude.
You know, if
he did a legendary move.
He's literally legendary!
Yo.
I mean, if you guys, if you fucking posers knew anything about D&D, yeah, that's how you would fucking react.
I'm not a bunch of fucking dorks. What? No, go ahead, sorry.
No, what? Go ahead.
Were you going to say a tell for him?
And there was an inaccuracy.
I knew what it was. I said it to Nick.
I knew you knew.
I knew that you knew what it was. He said that the guy saw him in the morning. He saw the little creature came to see you in the morning.
Little creature?
Whatever it was. What was it?
A tiefling.
Yeah, a little creature.
He's a creature.
Came to see you in the morning and then went off, but the murder happened the night before. The murder had already happened.
The murder of the tiefling?
Yes, had already happened the night before, and Joshua told you that he saw him that morning.
Wait, I'm sorry. When did we find out the murder happened the night before?
When we got to the scene...
Gumshoe and the bartender both said it happened at night.
Oh, shit.
It was like right before you got arrested.
Yeah.
Right over here.
So, within a room, within a tavern, within a city, the four of you find yourselves beginning your career as adventurers. Honto, still in deep pain, lies on the shredded bed. As the rest of you, Rook, Cree, and Levi, look on. What do the four of you want to do?
Rook's just reading his fucking book.
Sitting down, pulling out a chair. And these rooms, along with the beds, also have a desk and a chair as well.
I'm reading and I'm like... I read like this.
Dragging a finger across the book.
As I read.
Levi's set at the desk and he's starting to work on... starting to work on his knitting.
I'll just chill and eat some leftover stew.
I was gonna say I look over and I say,
What are you knitting?
It's gonna be a hat.
Ooh, for you?
Nah, not for me. Someone a little head of the pack. Starting to be where I could show y'all a little bit of what I can bring to the table.
Can't wait to see it. And I just go back and start reading my book.
Time passes. At this point, when you brought him in, I would say it was around maybe midday. Hour goes by. Another. And then another past that. sun is still hanging in the sky, but it should find itself with the moon coming out behind it within the next 4 or so hours. What do you guys got on the menu? What are you guys planning? What do you guys want to do for the rest of this day?
I guess we could try to find the dude that we're going to work with.
Yeah. He's here, right?
So, do you know what happened? Did we say that at the end of the last session we explained him what happened? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, what he's
yeah,
what said.
Said.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, no. I think he's here, no?
Yeah, isn't that what Bubblegut said?
Who, Asan?
Yes. Maybe we can go to the front and the downstairs in the bar and ask the innkeep if he's here, what room he's in.
Start walking out of the room, and I open the door, and I just gesture my hand like, let's go after you.
I would say, not mechanically, by any means, your wounds hurt. Non-lethal damage, of course, no internal injuries, nothing like that, but even now, your black fur isn't going to show a bruise, but you can feel the tenderness along the side, and you can almost pinpoint where each 6 of the punches landed. All over your body, but I mean, it's going to take you some time to kind of recover fully. Just roleplay flavor sake, but mechanically, you're good. You're rolling. Whatever your hit points are, but I can't understate how much it really hurts.
Definitely, Hanto's going to be walking around all 4s just because it's way easier. Follow you down, Kree.
Rook and Levi, you guys staying in the room?
Yeah, I'll stay up there.
Yeah.
And Rook, for what it's worth, the book that you're reading, it is covering a lot of the different druidic tribes of the region. But on top of that, it also covers specific practices of each individual tribe. Something that you have heard about before, but also after meeting Kaelin, became a little bit more aware of, cognizant of, is Wild Shape, which is described, and the different tactics in which different tribes tend to achieve this state are kind of outlined. And your understanding, especially with your druidic background, whoever wrote this book doesn't really get the full picture. Imagine a 1700s, like Charles Darwin type, making contact with these very culturally deep tribes of the earth. And their understanding of their practices almost painted in like a brutalistic way, like a savage way. But to you, with your druidic background, you understand what this connection to the earth means. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But you still have a lot to go. It is a pretty in-depth book. The two of you making your way downstairs, Hanto and Kree, what do you guys do? Stepping down the stairs, Hanto taking some pained steps. You can see the bar downstairs is full with a decent amount of patrons and the same bartender behind the bar kind of tending it, filling up glasses. What do you guys do?
I'll go walk up to the bartender.
Yeah, and he...
This is the innkeep, right? The bar.
Yeah, this is the guy you've been dealing with. You don't know his name, but he's the guy who brought you the got you the food, brought you the fruits, all that kind of stuff, but he looks up.
Good evening, sir. Everything is fine with our stay. We were just wondering, do you have a guest here? His name is Asan.
The merchant.
Yes, we, my party, we took a contract to help him travel.
Yeah.
We would like to talk to him.
Yeah, he should be right in there. And he kind of points over. Looks like there's a room that's adjoined to this. There's no door, but it's almost like a doorway that's there. It's just a section with some tables in it. He usually stays there by himself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I head on over.
Mm-hmm.
Walking past the people at the bar and this doorway, like I said, it's open. You kind of look in, you can see a bunch of tables scattered around, and some people are sitting there. You see not just, you know, one singular person in this room, but there's probably like four or five tables that are scattered around. Some of them are filled with people, but the one thing that you do see is one guy who's off to the corner, sitting in a chair, single chair, at one kind of bigger looking table. A bird-like creature. Gray feathers, big wings, this crooked, weathered beak, splotches of white in like the gray feathers that cover him head to toe. He kind of looks like a seagull. But he's just sitting there, and it looks like he is counting out coins on the table.
He's like, is he as big as a humanoid? Or is he like...
Looks humanoid size. Maybe about like 6'2", 6'3".
I'll go approach his chair, his table.
Stepping up as he notices, he looks up as you kind of get closer, and he kind of grabs the coins and pushes them a little bit closer to himself and looks up.
It's a pleasure to meet you, sir. My name is Honto. This is Kree.
Give a little wave.
We are part of the Adventurers Guild, and... We took your contract to help you go to the Grand Erg.
You can see him as he's looking at you. One of his eyes has like a scar over it. It's just like this milky white. The other eye, bird-like, just kind of looking at you.
Well, the pleasure is mine.
Yes,
Brewster has told me a decent amount about you, so...
Oh, you already spoke with Brewster about this.
Yes, he told me that you took the contract, so I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, the two other members of our group are upstairs in a room.
Well, that's good to meet you. I'm glad that you accepted the contract. I just have a few questions for you, if you don't mind.
Of course.
Do you have any experience in the region, the Grand Erg, where we will be traveling?
I personally have not been there, no. I don't believe anyone else in my party has Kree, no.
Neither have I.
Hmm. Well, do you have experience fighting in any measure?
Oh, yes. We've gotten into our fair share of scraps. I'm recovering from one right now, actually.
So I see. Fair amount of scraps. Have you any mages, clerics along with you?
We have some tricks up our sleeves, I would say. We don't travel with a wizard. But, all the members of our party have proven to be quite talented and good at what they do.
And to become members of the Adventurers Guild, you must be. So... In terms of payment, has Brewster explained the deal?
I am not really our party's financier.
I believe he said 1 gold per day plus some gold up front.
Yes, that's what I've outlined. Gold per day. Should take us 3 weeks to get there. Might be more, might be less, but no matter what, you'd be allocated 1 gold a day each. In the past, it has taken 3 weeks, 21, 22, 23 days. Sometimes more, sometimes less, depends on the road. As far as payment up front, I'd be comfortable giving each of you 5 gold up front.
If that is what you can do, I don't see a problem with that. Kree?
I'm sorry, I thought that, Brewster told us that you would be giving 10.
Well, what Brewster says and what I say may be a little different. Is 5 a problem?
I don't think 5 is much of a problem, but it's certainly a lot less than the 10 that Brewster told me about, so...
Well, I am not privy to allow Brewster to speak on my payment method, but if it bothers you so... Does it bother you so?
Gives me a bit of an itch.
How about we say 7?
stick my hand out.
He puts down this clawed hand attached to this wing and shakes it. Kind of a gentle grip when he shakes your hand.
So, as far as traveling arrangements go, I assume you have camels, beasts of burden?
No. We do not. We've been traveling by foot, primarily.
Well, I have no room on my bullock cart for the four of you. I would suggest to at least have a mule and a cart. We should be going at a hastened speed. I think it may be difficult to keep up on foot.
Well, maybe for the rest of my group, but I'll be fine.
I'm sorry, what cart did he just say?
He said a bullock cart.
Can I roll to see if I know what a bullet is?
Bullock. With a CK at the end. Go ahead and roll animal handling for me. Go ahead, bud.
Eight.
No, you don't know.
Well, I would suggest any travelers get some beast of burden. Perhaps you can visit the stables. There's a stable master. He's in the silt markets. He could give you a good deal on at least a mule if you mention my name. He's Quetzalborn. Like me, his name is Amir.
Amir.
Do you have any questions of our travels?
Is this where you'd like to meet when we're ready to go?
Yes. Yes, ideally. I plan to leave in 10 days. Mainly because I have to leave tonight. I'm traveling to the Scorch. I have to pick up our fifth member. It's a man I owe a favor to. So I should be back in 10 days, and when I return, we can leave.
Okay.
Is this the fifth man? The contract said 45. This is the fifth man you speak of, right?
Yes, yes. He is a strong warrior.
I mean no disrespect. I just... Do you not trust us?
I do. It's a little awkward, complicated. I trust you fine. I owe this man a favor. He helped me out of a problem, and I promised him work. But he is a capable man.
Okay.
So I will leave tonight. I'll be here until the sun sets. 5 days there, 5 days back. When I return in 10 days, we can leave.
10 days it is.
Any other questions?
I do not have any, but, well, maybe we will have our other two group members come and show their faces to you before you set on your journey.
I would prefer that. I'll give both of you the 7 gold up front, and if at some point before nightfall you could send down the other two party members so I may see their faces.
Okay.
And he reaches around, picks out a couple coins, slides over 7 gold to both of you.
Thank you.
To be clear, I know I was not asked it, but we shouldn't be carrying any cargo of value to anyone other than the typical folk. Do you understand?
I'm not sure that I do.
Simply dyed cloth, lizard skins, leathers, other silks. Nothing dangerous, I should say.
It does not matter to me what you carry. I took the job.
I suppose, but some people are wary of carrying particular goods. Did not know your inclinations. But I look forward to working together nonetheless.
It's been a pleasure.
Gives you a nod.
You leave Tukri?
Yeah. Follow Honto out.
Okay. Back upstairs?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Levi, Rook, anything that you guys do in this in-between time?
No, I was just sitting there knitting.
Like a bitch.
Like a bitch.
I'm reading and I'm focused, but like every so often, like I just kind of like say something to Levi, or like I'll like just like look up and like stare at him, and then a couple times I come over and I want to try it on.
I come, use you as a model. Maybe for a second I use one of your needles to thread one through.
That's intimate. Dude.
What is it? I mean, in this stage of the knitting process, what does it look like?
It's not, it's so it's like a knitted cap. Go ahead.
Real quick, I just want to know, did you do any research on knitting for this?
No.
Oh, I would have.
Maybe like the stitch types or anything?
No. Oh my God.
What kind of stitch are you doing? I don't know. No?
Oh,
I would have had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, it's fucking weirdo. Let's get back.
You guys
want to
go home?
Yeah.
It's cool. You gotta be knowledgeable about it. What if I ask you? What if an NPC asks you?
I'd punch him in the teeth.
You'd take his soul.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey. Don't ask about my hat.
Shit. What color is it?
It's red. It is a red knitted cap, and it's got the two kind of ear flaps, which are just kind of getting down to the bottom, and then it's got the two kind of strings that hang off the ear flaps.
Oh. Oh, fuck, what are they called? They're called toques, I think.
Is that what it's called? I'm thinking like the South Park kind of
Yeah, hat. I think they're called toques.
Yeah, like the aviator winter hat kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would it fit your head?
Yeah, about.
Okay.
About. Maybe a little bit smaller. It's not, and it's also not meant, I mean, like, it could be a little warm, but it's not meant for direct warmth. There's some pretty open stitching in this thing.
Okay, and how long do you think it's going to take you to complete it?
Whole thing? Probably can get it done today. Just a cat. I've knit it before.
Okay.
I've done the crossbody 3-3 switch stitch.
Okay, so you do know a little bit about fucking knitting.
I just made that up on the spot.
It was good. It was good. I liked it. Fuck it. So yeah, Honto, Kree, you guys both walk back into the room.
I like imagine I walk in and like he's putting the hat on fucking Rook or something.
Playing dress up.
We found Amir rather quickly. He's downstairs and he said that he would like to speak with you both at some point tonight. So, because he's going to be leaving tonight and won't be back until 10 days from now when we will meet and start our quest together.
Okay. Was he nice?
It's polite, I would say.
All right. All squared away on the payment there?
He has your
we're
gold.
Getting, we're getting 7 gold up front. Like, either both of you will get 7 gold, and then 1 gold per day, just like Brewster said.
All right. Do we gotta go get a fifth guy?
No, he's going to get a fifth. He said he owes him a favor or something like that, but it is not our concern.
I hate to say it, but Honto, did you end up telling your friend about where we was headed, the contract we took?
Yes.
Think that's gonna be an issue?
We will find out, won't we?
Guess so, man. Guess so. Alright, he wants to see us?
Yeah.
Start walking down.
Yeah.
Hat on.
You leave the hat on?
Yep.
I imagine in my mind the hat, like, when you're wearing it, has, like, your thorns, like, sticking out of it. Yeah. I'm not going to say that it's going to ruin the hat, but definitely is, you know, sticking out of there. So you walk your way down. Much as I described, the bar is similar to how it looked when they went down there. Bartender doesn't immediately look up as you guys, you know, step down. What do you guys do?
Turn to the bartender, or wait for the bartender to get our attention.
Yeah, he kind of looks over.
Our friends came down here looking for a man.
Amir?
Shit, yeah.
Amir, I don't know. In the mirror.
We didn't have two people down here.
Yeah, they were looking for Asan.
Asan. Yeah.
Yeah, where is he?
He's right through that room. Should be near the back. Points over towards a door frame.
I should remember this shit. head in.
Start, yeah, walking in.
So you make your way in, and you can see exactly what I described to them. Tables set up, some people spread about. And this one guy in the corner, a bird-like looking man with gray feathers splotched with white, counting out coins.
Well, hello there, sir.
He looks up, stops counting his coins, kind of pushes them closer to him. Oh, you must be the,
Levi. Leviticus Cain.
Pleasure to meet you. My name is Asan.
Pleasure to meet you. Myself. Shake
I'm
his
Rook.
Hand.
He looks over
nice to meet you.
Towards Rook. Nice to meet you as well. My way.
Indeed.
I've been to your homeland before. It is a wonderful place.
You've been there?
Yes. Yeah, a long time ago.
I miss it. It's great, isn't it?
People were very friendly there.
Oh, yeah.
I have never seen a My Way in Kincaidin.
Yeah, I've never been here.
I explained some things to your friends. I'm not sure if they related to you, but I have your payment up front. If you have any questions about what we're planning on doing, free to ask.
Yeah, 7?
Yes, 7 each.
Yeah, sounds about right.
He counts them out as you're talking.
And this time it's going to take us to get there, do you ever factor in, hell, we'll be 3 weeks from home, being honest?
I'm not sure the question you're asking.
You got a plan for us to get back, or are you kind of staying out there?
Well, I plan to stay out there and perhaps travel further west, but truthfully, I'm guided by whatever prices are wherever I go. If we get to Fort Chasm and prices for a particular good are cheap, I'll purchase them and go where I know that they would sell for higher. So I can't say for certain that I'm not planning on returning directly to Kincaidin, but I also cannot say that I won't go somewhere else. You'll see, perhaps, Kaida. Depends on what the market prices are in Fort Chasm.
And anything you think we should acquire before we head out?
Well, I spoke to your other two party members. I mentioned if you have no beasts of burden, camel or horse, I would definitely purchase one. I let them know about a contact that I have at the stables in the silt markets that would be able to cut a deal. Other than that, maybe there's cartographers around. If you have no beasts of burden, I assume you don't travel by wheel often enough, so perhaps some cartography tools. There's a shop ran by a man that I also know who could give you traveler's tools, parchment, maps of the area as well. But it is up to you.
I think we're good then. Grab the gold from the table.
Grab the gold and I say,
I mean, we could use some help on that. Maybe we should get a camel.
Might as well look into it.
Like I told your friends, it is another Quetzalborn like myself who runs a stable there. His name is Amir. And if you are interested in cartography tools or maps, there's a cartographer also, a Quetzalborn like myself. His name is Kaplan. They operate in the silt markets.
Thank you very much. 10 days, you said?
Yes, I am going to retrieve the fifth member of this caravan guard. It's a 5 days journey. Should take me 5 there, 5 back. And we will leave on the 10th. If you're not here on the 10th day, I will wait 2 longer. And any beyond that, I'll leave on my own.
Fair enough. Great meeting you, sir.
Yes, absolutely. I look forward to working together.
You too. Turn around.
Turn around and leave?
Yeah.
Back up to the room. Honto and Kree, while you guys were alone in the room, anything that you guys do?
I'll just sit in the corner and say a prayer to Cedro.
Okay. Rook. Levi. You guys enter back in the room.
I'm holding my money, and I go, now I can buy my own hat. I take mine off, or this one off, and give it back to you.
Yeah, and I go to finish up the last of the stitching on it.
So did he tell you anything differently than what we told you? Or he told us?
No. Suggested that we get a camel or a horse.
And I guess we gotta get a cart too. Shit to take care of a cart. Damn. Go for it, Joey.
You guys got a cart.
Did we bring it back with us, or did we leave it down there?
We haven't said anything about it.
I swore we brought it back.
I'm assuming you guys brought it back.
I swore, like, we said that we brought it back.
I know you guys said that you brought it back, but I don't know where it is right now, so I'm going to make the call that it's in the Adventurers Guild parking lot, just, like, okay. Sitting there outside.
Did we at least chain it up?
No.
Fuck.
It's roaming around. You catch it in the field eating grass.
Shall we go meet Amir?
I think so.
Now this cart that we have, would this... Is it a one-size-fits-all cart? Is it a, you know, you have, small horses-only cart?
So you have experience with this cart. You've seen this cart. You know what the cart looks like. You know its dimensions. You understand that it is a hand-drawn cart, like a wheelbarrow. You know that it would need alterations made to it in order for it to be functional, in order to have some animal pull it.
Okay.
From our experience, do I recall, like, does it look like a very, very generic ass hand cart? Or is there any type of, like...
No. It's not like it's a tool frequently used at the docks, if that's where your mind is going. It's not branded, it's not...
I mean, like, it's very mistakable for the next hand cart.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you guys want to trick it out, where you want to put, like,
no,
flames
I meant,
on the side of it, or...
It was used in a potential crime.
Yes. There's nothing distinguishable about this
cart. We don't have to scratch the VIN number,
yeah,
you know?
No, you don't have to scratch the VIN number.
Nothing like
no,
that.
No, it is... It's an indistinguishable from the next cart.
Dude, I want to get a paint job.
Could you imagine? We're like 3 weeks out of the city. We pass some guard. They're like, that's the cart!
I know that cart!
That's the cart!
Get him!
License plate L627G.
Get him!
I think we should go pick up the cart, and then we go to the silk markets.
Yes.
Perhaps.
So, going outside... Sake of brevity, go to the Adventurers Guild parking lot. Maybe you guys gotta, like, hit the panic alarm to find where you guys parked it, but easy enough to find the cart. Find the cart, pick it up, and you guys said you want to go to the silt markets? All right.
Yeah.
Just to give you a heads up, it's going to take you guys some time to get there. You imagine you would get there a little after nightfall.
That's fine. I'm cool with that, if you guys are.
Making your ways out?
Yep.
So, traveling through the district, not passing directly past the royal palace in any capacity, but you can see it looming in the distance. as you basically cut your way up the alleyways around the Adventurers Guild and make your way back onto the main road. This road, like I mentioned before, is stark white. You can see drag marks in it from any kind of wagons that have passed or foot traffic or anything like that, but it is a rather beautiful and fairly wide road. Imagine like a four-lane highway that wide of just this pure solid chalk, white chalk. Stepping up it, and there is foot traffic even at this time of day up and down this main road. The road leads directly to the Royal Palace itself, but the opposite side, which you guys passed across in order to get to Talverna originally, leads out west. So you follow this down, eventually reaching this open air market, and you can see it in the distance before you get close enough. It's still packed, and at this point the sun has set, and out come these candlelights and these lanterns and these different torches that are lit in order to illuminate this open air market, which is teeming with people even at this point in the day. Now at this point in the night, I would even say, people are trading, people are talking. You guys are here. You are aware of some sort of stables. I mean, what do you guys want to do? You see people peddling all sorts of wares. And compared to the dock ward where you saw mostly tools and fish and stuff like this, this is an all manner of things. Trinkets, gems, goods, like raw goods, silks, leathers, all sorts of stuff. It's a little overwhelming. What do you guys want to do?
Is anyone selling, have I seen anyone selling like food or anything, consumables like that?
Yeah, so it actually looks like people are selling a lot of different foods. Not like pre-made foods, like a food stand, but raw goods.
Yeah, you see people
selling raw chunks of meat, which you're not sure exactly what it is. You also see fish, like I mentioned, in the docks as well. But on top of that, you see people selling fresh loaves of bread. You see people selling like prepackaged hardtack, prepackaged different rations that you think would be able to be transferable into mechanical rations, and a wide array of different kind of foods as well.
I don't want to go to like a meat or a fish stand, something where it's like vegetables, fruit, kind of shit like that.
Yeah, there are some people that are selling, you know, the big thing that you see is a lot of figs and dates.
Okay, perfect. I'll walk up to one. Hello, do you trade? Do you only sell, or do you trade as well?
I mostly sell, but I can trade as well. What did you have in mind?
Oh, I see what you're selling. Would you like to offer me anything before I take out my 3 jars of honey?
Mm-hmm. And he kind of takes a look.
This is honey?
Yes.
From the south?
No, it's from well past the salt flats.
Huh. Could I take a look?
I'd grab one, take the top off, and...
Yeah, and he kind of right looks over, smells it, sticks his finger out. This is a human, by the way, kind of like fat, heavy set. He sucks on his finger.
Well, that is honey. I never heard of honey this far north at all. It's interesting. Yeah, I suppose. What are you looking to purchase?
Well, there's some, you know, food you have here, or if you would just simply like to buy this off of me to then sell it yourself, I would not mind. Whatever you think it's worth, pay me a little less.
Well, I could either give you 7 silver per jar, or perhaps 10 silver worth of my fruits per jar.
Take the fruits. Will the fruits, how long will these last? If you have any stuff that's longer lasting, that would be appreciated.
For the honey, I can give you the top quality. Lasts maybe, say, a week or two. Maybe more.
You know, I'll give you 2 jars of honey, one for your silver offer and one for the fruit. How about that?
Fair to me.
All right, if, like, well, t- to end that interaction, do you know, there is supposed to be, we were told of a stable here, a bird person sorts, if you will. I haven't seen them before, named Amir.
Yeah, Amir Stables. Yes.
Amir Stables, it's called?
No, it has no name, but he runs it.
Okay. Could you point me in the direction of that?
Yes, if you go straight down there and make a left at the, there's a person selling coffee beans right at the end. You just make a left and head straight up that, and you can't miss it.
Okay. Thank you. Also, I was told of a cartographer?
There are also a few.
One of the same race as Amir, I was told.
He is right next door. They are brothers.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
On my way. Back to the group.
So,
up and to the left.
What are the three of you guys doing during all this?
I want to look for some pickled vegetables.
So, if we are going on a shopping spree, because we got, you know, I don't want to bog us down in each individual interaction. If it's funny, I'm going to do something, but for any kind of rations that you guys want to purchase or any kind of adventuring gear that's outlined in the PHB, just let me know what you're looking for. If you're looking for toolkits or if you're looking for whatever the case may be, I can let you know if it's easy to find. I can let you know if you're able to negotiate a good price. But pickled vegetables for what end? Strictly to have as rations, like to eat as you travel, or for something else?
To have as rations.
Then I would say yes, it's easy enough, and even if it's not just, well, does Rook eat meat mostly?
No.
Okay, so then for the most part, if you're looking for pickled rations, they do have, like, pickled, most of them are honestly, like, pickled zucchinis, pickled squash, pickled cabbage, and for one day of rations worth, it's 5 silver.
Okay, we'll do that.
So you have an unlimited supply before you, and you're able to purchase that if you like.
I just do.
Make sure you adjust your finances accordingly.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Can I try and sell my jewelry that's worth 10 gold?
If you would like to, yes. Now, here's my question. How hard is Kree looking for the best possible deal?
Kree's willing to hold on to this if he doesn't get in the ballpark.
In the I'll ballpark of 10 or in the ballpark of further than that?
Not 10. Yeah.
Okay. So then
he's
roll,
not trying to upsell.
Roll me a general charisma check as you kind of step through a couple different places trying to peddle these pieces of jewelry.
12.
12. I would say that you are able to find someone willing to buy it for 9.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay, you're able to do that.
Pleasure doing business with you.
Thank you.
These is pretty. They look tasty.
They'll look good on you or in your stomach or whatever you'd like.
Someone told me that kobolds eat these. Is that true? Gems and rocks.
Can I tell if it would make him happy if I said yes?
Roll insight.
13.
It would make him pretty happy, yeah.
Some do. I don't.
I knew it. Have a nice day.
I walk away.
Anything else you just want to do?
Yeah, can I try to find the shop, the cartographer with the maps?
Yeah, so when Honto kind of comes back, do you kind of explain what you were told?
Yeah, pretty quickly. I just said everywhere we need to go is up and to the left.
So I would say...
Back to the left.
Back to the left. I would say Rook purchases his rations, Kree is able to peddle off his jewelry, and you are speaking with... the fruit vendor. You guys all wrap up at the same time, reconvene, you explain that to them, and then you guys head up and to the left.
Up and to the left.
Easy enough to step down this street, which is just, like I mentioned,
this open air market. So there are these beautiful silk, almost like tapestries, that are hanging on posts to cover all these different outside vendors that are peddling all these wares. If it's not clear, if I didn't kind of state it, anything in the PHB under the gear section is for sale here. Maybe some other stuff if you guys have anything that comes into your mind. Hey, you know, do they have this? Do they have that? Like, there's no, like, furniture in the PHB, but there is a furniture seller that you guys pass on your way here. This place is very, very compact. Vendors are shoulder to shoulder peddling their wares, and a lot of money is exchanging hands. It's not particularly busy. You guys aren't bumping shoulders with other people, but as you head up, you do see, as that fruit vendor mentioned to you, someone who's peddling various different coffee beans. Make a left, and you can see it actually directly at the end of this small little alleyway, a stable that's set up, and you actually see like the back of the horse. Probably, I'd say maybe 60 or so yards ahead of you.
Well, it looks like this is the spot. Let's go find Amir.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Making your way up, you can see these stables, like I mentioned. And it is an actually fairly large stable, almost like a barn with the top half of it cut off. So there's different pens with different animals that you see kind of roaming around. There is a pen that you see that's kind of large, takes up maybe about a quarter of this space, that's filled with different dogs that are running around. You see different kind of hounds, different kind of like mastiff type dogs. Just like roosting around, playing with each other, running around, rolling around. You also see a variety of camels, large, large horses, some smaller, more reasonably sized horses, mules, and the like. There is one person who is immediately recognizable, similar to the person that you saw a few hours prior in the bar. Quetzalborn, a bird person, kind of tending, picking up a saddle. It looks like he's trying to saddle a horse and, like, tie down the belts. There's an entry into this. It looks like there's, like, a push gate almost, like a wooden gate that you can just kind of push in and step inside if you guys so choose. But for the most part, like I said, all open air. It's not like a building. It's just this guy with these stables set up almost in the middle of the sands here. What do you guys do?
I want to approach the man.
Yeah, he's kind of finished setting up this saddle and kind of like tightening belts and looks over. Can I help you?
Hello, yes. You're Amir, I presume?
That is me.
We are doing work for a man, Hassan, a merchant. He sent us here to you because we are in need of some animals to pull our cart.
Much the same as when you saw Hassan, this Quetzalborn has the same features. Gray coat of feathers, splotches of white, this crooked, curved beak. Like I said, Hassan looks like a seagull. This guy looks like a seagull. And he says, Amir, he says, well, what is my brother up to this time?
We are, taking him on a trip to the Grand Erg, to Fort Chasm. He's doing some merchanting, buying and selling there. It's a 3-week trip. He's picking up another fifth party member right now. This evening he's leaving, and he'll be back in about 2 weeks, and then we will leave.
Does have the mind for money. So, what are you in the market for? We have draft horses, riding horses, camels, mules, mastiffs, dogs. We sold out of goats this morning, but is there anything that you're looking for specifically?
Well, we've been dragging this cart with us, right?
If you guys, I'll say that you guys have dragged the cart to this point, but in the future, tell me we're bringing the cart. Because you guys specifically said we're going to the Adventurers Guild and picking up the cart, I'm imagining you guys are bringing the cart, but remember, keep, I'm going to hold you guys to that. If you guys aren't saying, hey, we're bringing the cart, if I don't hear that, you guys didn't bring the cart. But yeah, you have the cart with you.
All right, so I kind of like motion him to come with me as I'm like, well, I've only traveled on foot my whole life, but we do have a cart. I think we will need to modify it, but perhaps you can tell us what we would be best suited to use.
Well, let me take a look. He kind of steps up, looks at the cart. Anything that you three are doing during all this?
I want to talk to him, but I'm following Honto around for this part.
Rook, Levi, anything? Or just kind of watching? No,
looking for
around?
That cartographer shop.
Oh, yeah, so you actually see it as they're at the stables. You see right next door is, like I mentioned, open-air market. There is a man much similar to this guy, much similar to Hassan, who you spoke to before, and additionally, gray, white splotches, crooked beak, seagull-looking Quetzalborn. I would say, been mentioning that a couple times, naming the race by its race name, Aarakocras. In this setting, referred to as Quetzalborn, just a little homebrew thing, but if you have any questions about this race, they're referred to in the PHB and any other, or not the PHB, in any kind of supplements as Aarakocra. You see it outside, there is this table set up, a bunch of tables kind of going back kind of far, and this Quetzalborn, like I mentioned, just kind of milling about, looks like he's rearranging different stuff, but you do see tools, navigation tools, astrolabes, and different stuff like that. But back to Amir looking over the cart. So I would suggest, ideally you would want a draft horse.
Just one will do.
One draft horse should get the job done. They can pull up to 550, 575 pounds.
Okay. how much are we talking?
Because you say you are friends of a son, I could give you 50 gold. And we'd also have to alter the cart in order to be pulled by it.
I don't think any one of us singly has enough gold. We'll have to talk to everyone and see.
There are alternatives. You know, you could have a mule as well. A mule could pull it just as well, but they would be able to pull a little bit less. Maybe around 480, 500 pounds. And for that, I could give you a mule and alter the cart, package it together for 20 gold.
Is everyone still here? Or
everyone except for Levi.
Okay. I think that sounds like a good deal.
Yes. We could do 20 gold. I just want to make sure we have the right resources for our trip. How, a mule, a horse, again, I know you're not a traveler, but you're more experienced than me. How fast do you think, on average, we would travel throughout the day, pulling a load?
Pulling a load, perhaps 30 miles a day.
Okay.
Maybe less. With a mule, 24, 25.
I think we could get away with a mule. I wouldn't have a problem walking some distances alongside the car to reduce the payload.
My mules, for what it's worth, I breed them here myself, and they are bred with the draft horses, stronger than the average mule you would find. And if you are working with Hassan, like you say, his cart is pulled by ox.
I think mule is probably the way to go then. If it's pulled by an ox, we don't have to get anything faster than that.
Yeah. And you said the cart modifications would be included with this too?
Yes, but make sure that you tell my brother so. And he kind of gives you a smile.
I will. I appreciate the deal.
Well, whatever
keeps my brother safe. And he kind of...
Ah, gosh.
Kree and Honto, both of you guys roll perception.
23.
Not one.
Kree, you don't even notice it at all, but Honto, it's hard to miss. As he says, whatever keeps my brother safe, he's looking directly at Kree's sword when he says that. And then kind of looks back towards you. You can peruse the mules, pick whichever you like. I have three right now.
Okay. Thank you. We'll come back and let you know.
Sure thing. Levi. You step up to that cartography outdoor shop. It's quick to get the owner's attention. You're almost out of eyesight of the other three from this point. He looks up. Can I help you?
Well, hey there, feller. Headed on a little adventure.
Glad to hear it.
Headed west. Never been. You map out the area? Have anything of the area?
I purchase the maps and sell them back to travelers, yes. You go to the Grand Irk?
Yeah.
Or beyond that?
Who knows where my destinations will be. But I thought I'd try my hand at maybe charting the area myself for once.
Yeah.
You got the bits and bobbles I'd need?
Yeah, I would be able to piece together a decent enough set for you, yeah.
Alright. Do you have any of the maps out right here that I could see the area?
This morning we had a noble come in. He bought up all of our maps except for a few. I only have a couple.
Anything of that area?
The one map that I have is current royal family claims in northern Ticinia. The other is rough regional map of the northeast here.
I guess I'll take a look.
Yeah. Kind of reaches down. Roll perception.
6.
He reaches under the under like the table there, comes back up with two rolls of parchment, and they seem pretty large. He unrolls one and he's like, "This is recent map. This is rather new, maybe 2 or 3 months old. It's just whatever royal families have declared for the region where they're zones of influence are," and he unrolls it. It looks like a fairly well-made map. And then the other one he unrolls, he's like, "This is just general regional map for the northeast of Ticinia as well." And that one, too, looks pretty well-made.
Yeah, nothing about the area that we're headed to?
No.
All right.
But would you like to see those maps?
I would love to see those maps, shall we? Oh, whoa. Damn. Those are very big. General maps.
Big woods. What the fuck?
Damn, it's a big map. Alex, since you can't see it, he just gave us a full detailed world map. Like, every single town and village is in here.
That's
population
sick.
Numbers. By race.
Mm-hmm.
They're the two shittiest maps. Literally, like, neither of them are probably useful at all.
That's sick.
Give you a general idea.
Yeah, hand them back to him. I'm memorizing them in my head.
That's what I'm saying. Now, from this point on, any kind of map that you look at, you just automatically have memorized. That is a very, so sick, very dude. Useful feat. As long as you say to me, you know, I go to sleep, I sketch it.
Hence why I am here with this man.
I imagine.
Yeah, about those tools?
Yes, would you like a full set just for general cartography?
How much you reckon that's gonna run me?
Well, how much does it cost in the player handbook?
Oh, well, Joe handed my player handbook to somebody else at the table.
Don't worry, I'll look it up. I have one under the table.
Do I fucking have cartographer's tools? No, never mind. I didn't take them.
Chubb, can you send me a picture of that?
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Thanks.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I got it. I got it. Don't tell me.
Well, way too much money.
Don't tell me. Wait, what did you ask for the price of? Just like one, like
cartographer's tools.
Oh, the tools. Okay.
Yeah.
Not one of these.
No.
Well, the thing that would set you most back would be the calipers, the radial compass. You don't need an astrolabe, but at least a star chart of sorts. I'd be able to charge you maybe 15 gold.
How's about one of them big sheets of paper? The pencil with the turny thing?
We call that a radial compass.
Yeah, how's about one of them?
That's all you need. Do you need ink or anything?
Yeah. Run me some of that.
An ounce, too?
How much that knockoff?
The ink is 10 gold an ounce.
Oh, Jesus Christ. How does anybody rate anything?
Why do you think my maps are so expensive? You haven't asked how much they actually cost.
Jesus. Let's cut the ink. Let me do the paper and the compass.
Yeah, so the parchment itself, I can give you a deal, maybe say 5 silver for a stack. Maybe 15 or so pieces in there.
Mm-hmm.
The compass itself, I give it to you for 4 gold.
This motherfucker.
They are precise tools.
Yeah.
Made by experts, artisans.
Yeah. I hand him the silver for the paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's good doing business with you.
I appreciate it.
Wrap him up.
And he closes the maps back up and mm-hmm. sticks them back under the table. You leave?
Yeah. God damn it. Would you say 5 silver?
I don't remember what I said. I think I said 5 silver.
Sure.
5 silver.
5 gold.
5 platinum.
God damn, why is everything so expensive?
This particular sect of it things is, are always very expensive. You know how much a spyglass costs? Like a telescope?
Yeah, but doesn't it have to have like a certain kind of glass in it?
Yeah, it's just like quartz. It's like polished quartz, but it's 1,000 gold for a spyglass. So, back at the stables, what are you guys doing?
Can I take a really in-depth look at the mules? Like, is there any way that I would be able to tell which one's the strongest?
Roll animal handling.
Sixteen.
So there are 3 mules. One of them has a black coat. One of them has like a gray, almost like spotted coat. The other one has a chestnut coat. They all look fairly healthy. They all look reasonably well. You wouldn't really put one ahead of the other. They're all the same size. None of them look sick, even if you take some time and you guys even notice Rook kind of, I don't know how you would do it, but gently picking up the hooves, checking out the horseshoes on them. None of them look any different than the others.
Is anyone like near me?
It's up to Honto and Kree, whatever they're doing. But you guys see Rook inspecting the mules that are there in the pens.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I just kind of like, I imagine like I'm like in the middle of like inspecting one of them and I'm like, they're all really healthy. Take your pick, boys. Which one do you like the most? I like the chestnut one. Maybe it'll blend in.
As you guys are talking, you notice Amir kind of taking measurements of your cart.
Do they have any type of like mount, anything to grab on them, or they're like totally bare in
they're
the stables?
Totally bare in the stables.
I want to roll. No, I want to like it's gonna be animal handling, but I'm not like trying to do anything. I'm trying to like approach each one and get like a vibe for which one is
the
gonna
temperaments.
Be yes, yeah, which one's gonna buck at me.
So I would actually tell you roll insight.
Okay. Seven.
The first one, you walk up to the gray one, you kind of put your hand towards the snout and it kind of like almost like pushes against you. You go up to the chestnut one and he doesn't give you any resistance as you kind of pet his snout. Then you go over to the black one and he kind of like rears back a little bit before you touch and then slowly comes back up and lets you pet him. Whatever you can extrapolate from that is up to you.
So the middle one didn't give me any resistance.
True.
And the first one reared away. Okay. And what color was the last one? Which one was that?
Black. Black reared away and then came back. Chestnut stood there the whole time. And the gray one reared away.
Well, on the third steed that matches my coat. You're cautious. I like that. I like this one.
Are we each getting one? I don't think that I need one, to be honest.
No, we're only getting one. I like the chestnut
like one.
One
too.
But whatever.
I don't
you
know.
Guys
I think
want.
That the, I think that the black one is, and I'm like pointing at the black one. I think that that one is, the one that we need.
Okay.
Sorry, Rook. Maybe next time.
It's okay. I like the. I like all of them.
Kind of. Shout out to Amir. Amir, we like the black one.
Yes, he is the only one in the stables without a name.
Really? Maybe when we return him, he will have one.
Return?
Oh, return to here.
Perhaps. I took your measurements. I can maybe fix you up something in the next 2-3 hours. Or if you prefer, you can pick it up tomorrow. It is up to you.
We could stay, but I don't really think we have any plans for the coming days, so why don't we just come by tomorrow?
Okay. Then, all I ask is 10 up front, 10 when you come to pick it up.
Of course. I'll take 4 gold out. Does anyone else have anything they would like to offer up?
I take out.
This time?
I take out 6 gold and I cover the rest.
Okay.
Here's 6 for our new friend.
And the new cart.
I will prepare a bill of sale for the mule and also... I will write the card up as a repair, but at least you can have the documentation necessary. You can pick it up tomorrow along with the card and the mule.
Wonderful. Thank you, Amir.
Absolutely.
Can I ask Amir before we go if Asan has ever shared any, I don't know, hiccups on the road or anything that maybe we could be aware of before we take this journey?
Me and my 2 brothers, Hassan and Kaplan, the 3 of us were all merchants at one point. Kaplan and I realized that it is no place for old men. Our place is to stay stagnant in one place, build something. Hassan himself, he always needs to keep moving. He's been injured here and there, but He is a skilled navigator, a skilled traveler. In recent times, he's hesitant to go to Fort Chasm, and this is the first time he is hiring a caravan guard, of which I'm assuming you are. But his passion is there, and he was a decent fighter at one point, but hiccups, I don't know.
Do you know of a man that he was a favorite to that would... He's bringing a mystery man to help with this trek. Does that ring a bell to you?
He's picking him up in the Scorch.
Both you guys roll persuade, or one of you roll with advantage.
Both roll.
Four.
Nat one.
Oh my god!
Dude, that's two nat ones this session for you.
Bro, yeah. Put that thing in jail.
Yeah, you got another?
Yeah, not up here.
I don't know. It does not ring any bells. I know he was stranded at one point, but he returned. This was months ago.
Okay. How much did you sell that last goat for?
The goat? Yes. 11 gold, I believe.
What color was it?
It was a goat, it was gray.
Okay. I walk away.
Honto, still standing there. Amir looks over, he says, if you have any needs for beasts of burden, I have the dogs as well. You're always welcome to return.
I imagine we will be seeing you again. Thank you.
Absolutely. It is a pleasure.
Walk away.
Levi, after your dealings with the cartographer, what do you do?
Head back to the rest of the group. Okay. Meet up with them.
I would say you reconvene probably near the end of this conversation.
All right. Shit, how much that run us?
It's going to be 20 gold total. Myself and Rook paid 10 tonight, and tomorrow we're going to come back and pick up our product for the rest.
Alright. Shit.
There is one more thing that I'd like to look through in this district, if that's okay with you three. I'd like to look for some armor.
Sure. We're here.
Yeah, I want to like look around for armor. An armor merchant.
So, I mean, that's... It's a little complicated. Are you looking for leather or metal armor, I suppose?
I am looking for, I guess, hide, or if I see any chain, that would be nice, but...
Yeah, so I guess I should rephrase it. Light, medium, or heavy?
Medium.
Medium?
Damn.
So, I would say, for the most part, it's not difficult to find a leather worker who is selling hide armor. They're also selling, like, studded leather as well, and other light armors there, you know, leather armor just straight up, and padded armor as well. And you should roll just a general charisma check for me. Just navigating the markets, maybe asking around.
13,
and you're also able to find a blacksmith that looks like they're making chain link armor, like chain mail. Mm-hmm. They're also selling scale mail there too.
Okay. Yeah, I want to see how much he's selling. So, just mechanically, I want to try to buy a chain shirt. So, I want to see how much he's trying to sell that for.
So, when you do enter that blacksmith shop, he does tell you that the chain shirt itself, he's selling it for 55 gold.
Damn. The fuck?
Okay, can we repeat this?
You step inside, you can see different lines of armors behind glass cases, and in the distance behind you see a wide, wide door frame, probably about like 3 door lengths long, and into it you can see a workshop where some guy's banging out this piece of metal, quenching it in water, but he notices you walk in, so he crosses that threshold, comes up towards the counter, looks out, and you can see, almost at your eye level, it's a dwarf who looks out.
Could I help you?
Is anyone in the store with me? Or is everyone outside?
I'm going to say they're all outside. That's my call.
Mm-hmm. Hello, how much for the chain shirt?
He looks you up and down.
55.
Do I see a chain shirt around me?
You see one in what looks like a display case on top of... Like, you guys, like, he has his elbows on top of it. It's, like, in the actual long counter that's here.
55 gold for this fucking chain shirt, and I tap.
Yeah, for that fucking chain shirt, each individual link, you want to count them? Because I had to rod out all of them, curve all of them. 672 different links interconnected. Yes, it's 55.
672 links for the size of this shirt. I, you know, you are a bit small yourself, but I must say I'm 2 feet tall. This is not going to fit me. I can assure you that. You could save some links. If you sell it to me for cheaper, you keep some, I take some.
You want me to cut this shirt in half?
I want less links.
Well, how about you ask me that in a nice way? How about you say, excuse me, artisan, excuse me, blacksmith, could you make me a custom chain shirt? And I could say, perhaps I could, but instead, you come in here, ask me to cut my fucking shirt in half. You want to try that again? Go outside, walk in the door again, do it. Walk outside, okay, let's try it again.
I walk outside.
You walk outside.
I walk out, and I say, I don't say anything, I walk out and I say, Rook. Can I borrow you? Please, can I borrow you in the store?
Yeah, sure. Walk up.
Okay. Can you just ask him to buy a chain shirt for me, please?
What?
Can you ask him to buy a chain shirt?
Can I ask him to buy a chain shirt? I'm not selling a chain shirt.
That's right. We'll be buying a chain shirt.
We will be buying a chain shirt.
I'll be paying for one, but I just need your help. Can you please go?
Okay.
Okay, very good. I open the door.
Are you coming with?
I'm like, yes, I'm coming. I'll be right behind you.
I go in.
Rook walks in.
I'm like hiding behind him.
Rook, you step inside and you see a dwarf behind the counter who looks up as you enter.
Go help you.
Hello, sir. I like turn around and I look down.
And I'm looking up like this.
I'm looking to buy a chain shirt.
Yeah, I got one.
Okay, how much?
It's gonna be 50 gold.
I turn around. It's gonna be 50 gold.
He looks over.
No, it's 55 for him.
But 50 for me?
Yeah.
This isn't even gonna fit you.
I know, that's why I brought you.
May I please have a custom shirt? For me. I said it.
Roll persuade with disadvantage.
I want to use my inspo.
Roll straight. Go ahead.
At one.
Oh, only one. Okay. 13.
Sure. I can make you a custom fit and chain shirt.
What's the price?
50 gold. I need to take the extra time. It's tied to chains. It's got to give the right coverage. I need to take your measurements. It's a special custom fitting process.
What if I bought it?
You can have this one.
And he taps on the case for
50 gold. No, I want one custom made for him.
It's the same thing, fella.
Thought it was 50 for me.
It was.
No, it's 55.
No, it's 50.
I will give it to you. I will pay you 25 gold. And I will also give you this magic healing ointment. And I pull out a jar of honey and I put it on the counter.
Magic healing ointment.
Your hands, as a smith, they look quite bruised. I think that it would be nice to, at the end of a nice long work day, just rub your hands in this. It smells like honey, and it helps. It's very soothing.
Roll deception. At disadvantage.
I want to use an inspo point. Twelve.
You see the blacksmith rub his top hand over his bottom hand, just kind of like drag him across, mutter some words under his breath, stick his finger out, and look out towards you.
That's not magic.
Under the table, cast prestidigitation and make the jar glow.
Of course it's magic.
What kind of glow? Be specific.
What color shirt is he wearing?
He's wearing like a leather apron.
Orange.
Roll sleight of hand.
6.
I just saw you cast that.
Cast what?
I don't know. I would imagine prestidigitation.
I can't even. That's such a long word. I can't even pronounce that fucking word. What even? Okay.
I'm a
30 gold.
I'm a fucking mage. Man, I don't know what you're trying to do here.
You're a mage blacksmith?
Yes. I come from Maefstone. We all are.
Will you take this for the chain shirt? And I show the masonry toolkit.
What is it? Pick. Chisels? No. Mason. Use his test in my patience.
Okay, all pot. I have is 30 gold. I have is 30.
God's bless yous. But I have a craft here. It's 50 gold for this chain shirt, and 50 gold if you want me to make one for you. There's no haggling here. I make good things. Take them or leave them.
Climb up onto the counter and I just stick my hand out to shake it.
Kind of like looks for a second. Roll one more persuade check.
8. Dude.
He reaches down and shakes your hand.
It's a business. I'm sorry.
I just shrug my shoulders. Maybe I'll be back. Walk out.
I don't care.
You walk out.
Yeah.
Rook, you stay there or you leave?
I leave.
Walking out. Four of you reconvene?
Yeah.
It's getting late into the night. It's starting to have the temperature drop substantially.
Maybe we go sleep.
Yeah, if everyone's done their shopping for the night, I'm ready to head back to the inn.
Head back to the inn.
Yeah. Heading back to the inn, back out through the silt markets, and into the various alleyways of Kincaid Dean, you make your way back to the tavern. With a night of commerce under your belt, the four of you head back to catch some Z's, and that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thank you for listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven. Nasty Table production.